All right, kiddos, come on and join me. Ooh, how's everybody today?
Good.
Good to see you. Hey, do y'all have any friends?
Yeah.
What are the things you expect from a friend?
Love.
Helping you? Okay, what else?
Love.
The friend will love you.
Caring.
What?
Playing with other from time to time.
To play with you from time to time. That's a... Very well stated. You make a good politician there, Jackson.
Caring.
And what else? Do y'all's friends do that for you?
Yes. Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Well, most of them.
Most of them do it. Do you have any perfect friends?
No.
Any perfect friends? That do right all the time. They never make a mistake. They never do anything wrong. Oh, Jesus. In fact, that's right. That's right. And Jesus is God. So let me read you this passage of Scripture. Listen to this from John chapter 15. This is what Jesus said to us. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just like I've loved you. Greater love has no person that he would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I've commanded you." So what's Jesus say how he feels about us? We are his what?
Children.
We're his children and we're his
friends.
And a real friend... It's going to be there for you all the time. Is Jesus there for us all the time?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He never leave. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you all the time." And he's given us a model of the kind of friend we need to be to other people. We want people to be a good friend to us. So what do we need to be to them? Be a good friend to them. Let me pray for you. That's right. Thank you, Jackson. Let's pray together. Let's join hands. All right? Let's join hands with each other. All right? There we go. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are our friend, Jesus. That you are with us. That you'll never leave us. No matter what happens, you're with us forever and ever. Lord, I pray we could be that kind of friend to the people around us so we can show the people around us your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, before you go today, I want to give you a reminder. We're going to have dinner after church today. And I want you to make sure, and parents, grandparents, make sure that your children are with you as you go through the line. And we're going to let our guests go first today. So we'll let the guests go first. And children, you need to be with your parents. Okay? All right, y'all can go to Kid Zone.
I have been to church all my life, and I didn't have the goods. I can even prove it. I've got this little white New Testament that they gave me when they watered me when I was a baby. I didn't much grow, but I can't help that. I had been in church, been in Sunday school, been to all kinds of churches. From the time that I was an infant to the time I was 18 years old. And I knew a lot of things in the Bible. I knew a lot of the stories. I'd read some of the Bible. Mostly, whatever we talked about in Sunday school class in all those 18 years. But I never really picked up the Bible with any intention of really reading it to let it change me. Now I tell you that because I want to tell you about some people who made a difference in my life. I got to where I was a freshman in college, and I knew all about God, but see, I had just enough knowledge about Jesus to inoculate me from really having to make the hard choices. which was letting Him be the one who is in charge of my life. And saying, Lord, You got the way to do it, and I don't. But there was a guy my freshman year of college. I knew that my life kind of all of a sudden came to a crashing halt, and I knew that I was really not doing a good job of life. I've told the story before. I'm not going to tell it all again. But God made my life kind of crash in front of me. And at that point, there was this guy named Ethan Ware. Ethan Ware played baseball with me at good old Wofford College. Ethan and I talked here and there, and finally he got around to saying, Rick, you go to church? And the truth is, when I was at college, I wasn't going to church. And it wasn't because I had anything against church. It was because I was scared to death of walking in that place by myself, whatever church it would be. There was a Baptist Student Union on the corner right beside the school, and there were evenings on Wednesdays. I knew they were in there, and I walked. I paced by that place over and over and over again, wanting to go in, but being scared to death because I didn't know anybody in there. Ethan Ware, after practice one day, said, Rick, you go to church? I said, well, you know, I haven't. And he said, come with me. And that started something that changed my life. I began to go to church with Ethan. It was a little independent Baptist church that met in an art center. And our Sunday school class was Ethan and me, another guy named Greg Warhorse McEwen. Of course, I added the nickname. That we all played baseball together. And then the kicker for the football team, Ronnie, I can't even remember Ronnie's last name. That was the Sunday school class. That was it. For 2 years, that was it. But it was enough. Because from that point on, my discipleship began. And it began with Ethan Ware. And I'm going to tell you about somebody else. Whenever I was in high school, went to several churches, but when we went to a big Baptist church in the Atlanta area, that's where my mom was taking us at the time. And my Sunday school teacher was a guy named Eddie Raines, and his wife was Dryna. And Eddie was one of these guys where you listened to him for about 5 minutes and you got excited, it didn't matter what you were doing. And I never even thought about the fact that Eddie and Dryna were my Sunday school teachers whenever I was like in 9th and 10th grade until I'm a senior in high school and we hire a new football coach. And my best friend, Steve Daves, said, Rick, you're going to like this guy. He lives behind me. You know who it was? Eddie Raines. Eddie Raines' life changed my life, even though it was kind of a slow burn. Okay? He was one of those Sunday school teachers that was telling me about Jesus before I knew Jesus. And you could tell the man lived it. Well, Eddie Raines became my secondary coach in high school my senior year. And you could just look at Eddie Raines in the cafeteria and you were ready to play football. Just something about looking at him, and he looked at you, and he had this little trembling lip thing. He's kind of from Tennessee, and it's just, I don't know how he did that, but he could make his lip tremble kind of like Elvis. And you just wanted to go. Eddie loved Jesus. He was the FCA sponsor at Chamblee, and my high school experience, I had people who would encourage me to go. I wasn't going to an FCA thing because, again, I didn't know who was there. I was scared to death. Funny thing happened once Ethan got a hold of me in college, and then my life began to change and I began to understand God's purpose and plan for me, and I began to understand what community was about, and I found that these people weren't weird and they weren't going to try to do things to me that I didn't feel comfortable with. Once all that happened and I graduated from college, I was ready to go back to my alma mater. And I taught there and I coached for 3 years. And guess who I spent most of my evenings with all through the time that I was coaching and teaching. Eddie Raines. After FCA, it was my turn. We had FCA groups in his home, and we met, and all those kids were there. And when all the kids were gone, it was me and Eddie and Dryna wondering when I was going to leave. They'd feed me, they'd take care of me, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I tell you these stories for a reason. You might be here today because somebody invited you to be here today, or you may be here today because sometime in the past, someone invited you to come and be a part of either Southwest Community Church or the Sycamore at Jacob G. Smith or the Sycamore in Richmond Hill or wherever, whatever congregations we've had. You're here now because somebody asked you. The truth is, every single one of us wants to feel like we're in. See, all those times when I'm walking around the outside, I wanted to feel in, but I wasn't. I didn't feel in. Everybody wants to know what it feels like to be a part of something bigger than themselves and to be accepted. And I believe that friendship is the key that unlocks relationships and opens doors. Just friendship. And I think God's wired us this way for a reason. So I got two things that I want to share with you real quick. Okay? Not going to take up a lot of time. First thing is this, very simple. Jesus has chosen to be our friend. He chose to be our friend. Let's look at his resume real quick for just a second. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, you find a little bit about who Jesus is. There in that passage, you see, it says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. This is Jesus' resume. And somehow, some way, He chooses to make us His friends. That's not my resume. That's not who I was. But if you look at His, He's the author of creation. And if you go back to Genesis that Dusty talked about this morning at 9:30, you find that Jesus is the architect. The Spirit was the builder. The Father was the planner. But Jesus is the one who created all creation. It was His idea how it happened, how you and I are. He wired us this way so that when He let us know that He wanted to be our friend, we knew that's what we needed. So let's look for just a second at something else. Let's go to Proverbs 18, John. In Proverbs 18, it says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Who's that friend? Okay. We were wired for this. He's a friend that we need. He will not leave us. Like Dusty said, if you look at John 10, 27, 30, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one's going to snatch you or me out of the palm of His hand. No one. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He chooses to be your friend and my friend. And then we go to John 15 that Dusty shared with the children just a minute ago. Greater love is no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because why? A servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus has invited us to be a part of something that is bigger than any of us. It's eternal and it's divine. Nothing else you or I can be a part of is either one of those two things. Jesus has let us in. He has let us into heaven. He's let us into the Father's heart. He's let us into His family. He has let us into His mission. We were outside of all those things. But because He chose to be our friend, even though He is the Lord of all creation, I still can't get my mind around that. Can you? The Lord of all creation chose to be available to you and me as a friend. And to give us gifts that we don't deserve because He wants to be our friend even though He is our Lord and Master and deserves all of our worship. The way of friendship is the way that God has chosen to wire us. So Jesus chooses us. That's the first thing that I wanted to talk about this morning. Second thing, and that is very simple. God's kingdom grows through friendship. If you let me be so bold and to take a flying leap out there on something, I would have to say that we can't make disciples if we don't make new friends. It doesn't happen. So if we're one of these people that make excuses about never wanting to make new friends, we're going to have to answer to God. I'm not saying you have to change your personality. I'm just saying you've got to change your perspective. We have to do that. Listen to the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You can read that as an imperative, or you can read it as a dependent clause. Forgive me, I'm an English teacher. If you read it as a dependent clause, it's since you are going, instead of you've got to go, it's because you're going out there anyway. Make friends that you can make disciples, the Rick Smith abridged version. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Ethan Ware. Eddie Raines. I can give you 15 other names, some of which would be your own. Because people took time to be my friend. They did not say, I think I'm going to go hang out with that 5'3" blimp because I think God's going to do something in his life. They just let me hang around. Because friendship is the way that God grows the kingdom. It's the way disciples get developed. Look at another passage. Look at what happens here. In John 1, 40-42, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, you'll be called Cephas, which when you translate it means rock, Peter, pebble. You remember the other story about the confession? It has to do with, and upon this rock, I'll build my church. What was it? It was the faith that Peter expressed, but I'm not so sure it wasn't also that he didn't get that you network the people you know. It's the faith that's expressed that allows us to build relationships and to use the vehicle of the relationships God allows us to be in that is where the kingdom grows. That very thing. The way of friendship. Friendship is an important part of discipleship. Jesus modeled it. Our mission demands it. I believe it. So I have a couple of questions, a couple of thoughts. One, why did Jesus, well, before we get there, one question before we pop those up there. Why did Jesus gather 12 guys and live with them for 3 years? You ever think about that? I think it's to build relationships. I think it's to build friendships. His relationship with John, the disciple, was tight. His relationship with Andrew and Peter was probably as strong as any that I can imagine. The other guys, they all wanted to be like those other three. You can see evidence in the Gospels where they were jealous to some degree of the fact that those three had this tight, James, John, Peter, Andrew, had this tightness with Jesus that they just didn't understand. Yet they were friends and they saw everything that Jesus did. You know, have you ever thought, maybe you're not weird like me, and that's okay. But I can be doing mundane things every once in a while, and I think, you know, Jesus had to do this too. he had to change his sandals. He had to pull on a different cloak. You know, all those things that are very daily, and we just, he did the same things. And he did all those things with these guys all around him, all the time. The way of friendship. The disciples, that group, people following him, traveling together, it was all about making disciples. And I guarantee you, not one of those guys would have cared what Jesus said if he hadn't befriended them. We've got to learn from that. We need to pay attention to that so that whenever we get stale, when we get frustrated, we understand there is a home base to run to. Here's home base. Now the questions. Are you making room for new friends? Sometimes those things happen because somebody moves something in, somebody moves new people into your office. Sometimes it happens because your kid's on a new football team or baseball team or soccer team. Sometimes it's because somebody moves in next to you in your neighborhood. There's all kinds of ways God orchestrates these possibilities. The question is, are you and I available to make new friends? And that's what it comes down to. That's how it starts. No one wants to listen to you or me talk about anything until they know what? That we care about them. And friendship is how that happens. Not friendship with a bait and switch person, purpose. I'm going to be a friend. And then if they don't listen to me talking about Jesus, I just won't be their friend. It's a matter of being somebody's friend because that's what Jesus did for us before we even cared about Him. Next question. What do you have to offer people? All of me. I have myself to offer people. And if they get me, whenever I give it to them, they get Jesus because He's in me. They'll get it. They'll be influenced. They'll be impacted. Third question. How many new friends have you made in the last year? I'm not talking about having to make a certain number of. The question is, have you made any new friends? Have you let those people that God brings into your life, have you... Here you go. I can build this relationship. We have to have that kind of intentional thought. And the only way we get that is by listening to God, by listening to the Holy Spirit, paying attention to what He's doing in our lives, and realizing this is the way disciples are made. You learn from people you like, that you enjoy being around. You don't care what a teacher tells you that you don't like. You went to the same schools I did. They just had different names. If you didn't like the teacher, you don't get the stuff that they're teaching. So how many friends have you and I allowed ourselves to make? And I'm telling you, I believe that it is proportional that the number of friends we make, if we expand that number, will enlarge, make it much more of a possibility that we will find ourselves making disciples. So today is a great opportunity. It's Friend Day to talk about how God uses this great thing that we're wired to do, and that is to desire to have friends. So today, as I pull it into the station, so to speak, the question is, number one, how are you doing your friends? And are you making new friends? And two, have you really realized that Jesus really has stepped out of heaven to be your friend? And He has made heaven accessible to you and me through friendship. He's not a dictator, although He could be. Instead, He sends the Holy Spirit to teach us all the things that He said were important. Have you let Jesus be your friend? He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to forgive you your sins. If you haven't made that choice today, I really would love for you to do that. But I understand. If you don't have a friend in your life who lives that before you, that's a hard choice to make. But I'm praying that you'll be open to let God bring friends into your life to show you the reality of that change that can take place. It has happened in my life. I am not the same person. And a lot of it was because I had people that God brought into my life who were friends who made me a disciple. If you need to know Jesus, Dusty and I are going to be up here. I can't remember if Dane's come back. Dane back. Yeah, Dane's in the corner. We'll all be available to you. There's other people who will be available to you if that's what you need to pray about. If there's other needs you have, we would love to pray with you about those too. Whatever God's doing in your life, whatever your needs are. But I encourage you to be asking God where those friendships in your life need to be popping up. And will you see those people the way He sees those people and the way He used to see you? Still sees you as somebody He loves and wants to know. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the way that You've worked. Lord, for the ways that our lives are different and the way You've demonstrated and poured out Your love for us and the fact that You want to be with us in life and be with us in eternity. Thank You for being our friend. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that needs to let you be their friend, that today they will choose to ask you to forgive their sins, that they'll acknowledge that they've fallen short of your glory, and that, Lord, they need you desperately to be their friend. Lord, that's how you got me when I was desperate. Lord, I'm praying that we would be good friends, that we would be your hands and your feet, and that, Lord, we would expand our desire to be friends to other people so that they will see and know that there is a God in heaven who has not stopped sending. Let us be those people and open to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray and I'm going to bless food. And then you have heard the charge that's been given to the children. So, children must be with their parents. Okay? That just helps us make sure everybody gets through the line a little bit more efficiently. So, thank you for helping us with that. All right, let's bow. Father God, it's a beautiful day. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for gathering us and getting us here. Lord, now as we spend this time together, Lord, sharing this meal, Lord, I pray that You'll bless the conversations and bless our time together, that this food might be used to strengthen us, that we might serve You, love others, and serve them in Jesus' name. Thank You. Amen.